In case you don't have a pew sheet, invitation song will be number 275. Number 275, you can mark that if you'd like. Good morning, church. How's everybody this morning? Beautiful weather today, and it is good for us to be together today. Amen. Today marks the beginning of a series on the idea of the kingdom of heaven, and we're really glad you're here for this beginning lesson on that. And over the next 4 or 5 weeks, my brothers will be joining me in speaking about various aspects of the kingdom of heaven. And we'll kind of get that started today. You know, we are not that far removed from the idea of a kingdom, an earthly kingdom. Though we may call it, in our culture, in our society, in our time, we may call it something different. We may call it a nation. We may call it a country. But we also know, I mean, we know just from our study of history and looking around the world today that for all of mankind, I mean, literally from the beginning of time, mankind has fought wars to establish kingdoms, to prop up kingdoms, to protect kingdoms, and yes, even to destroy kingdoms. For all of mankind's existence, this has taken place. And such was the case when Jesus came into the world. In fact, there's a whole lot of prophecy in the Old Testament that speaks of kingdoms that would come. If you were to go turn to the Old Testament book of Daniel, many of you would remember those stories of how Daniel prophesied that there would be certain kingdoms that would arise. And one of the emphasis of these prophecies was that Daniel talked about in chapter 2 that there would come a kingdom that would begin as maybe a small stone, and it would grow into a large mountain, and it would smash the other kingdoms. It would destroy the other kingdoms, but that kingdom would grow into a mountain that filled the whole earth, and it would never be destroyed. It would last forever. And of course, Daniel is prophesying about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ. So Jesus comes on the scene. We talk a lot about the cross of Christ. We talk a lot about the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ and what that means to us. And that is, to be sure, the ultimate show of God's love and mercy and compassion towards humanity. But we look at also the ministry of Jesus. Those 3 years that he preached and he taught and he mentored and he discipled. And we see that there was a whole lot more that took place during the ministry of Jesus that Jesus would have us to know and to understand. Jesus was under no illusions about who he was. He wasn't mistaken about what he came to do. In fact, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, Jesus began to preach. This is just after Jesus has been baptized and he's been sent, he's been driven by the Spirit out into the wilderness, and he's out there to be tested. He's out there for 40 days and 40 nights, and he is fasting and he is praying and he is undergoing just literally an onslaught of temptation by Satan, to test him and prepare him for what it is he is about to do over the next 3 years, culminating with his sacrifice. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, Jesus has come out of that wilderness. And the text says, Jesus began to preach and to teach. And what it says is, what he began to say was, repent. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. It's interesting that Jesus, those would be the first things that Jesus would say. But it's also interesting as his ministry continued that it's amazing. Y'all, if y'all were to go to a concordance and pull up Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you would be absolutely amazed. Just do a search for the word kingdom, you would be amazed at how often Jesus talks about the kingdom. So Jesus begins his preaching by saying, repent for the kingdom of heaven is near. And then for the rest of his ministry, he literally is saying over and over and over, the kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. If you know what a parable is, and you've heard some of the parables of Jesus, almost every single parable, Jesus begins telling that parable, the kingdom of heaven is like. What Jesus is trying to get people to see is that there's something different coming. There's something that is unlike any other kingdom that has ever been or ever will be, and it's on the way. In fact, Jesus is saying it's near. It's right here at the door. And this is what it's going to look like. So a whole lot of the Gospels is Jesus saying, y'all, this is what the kingdom of heaven is going to look like. And the lessons over the next 4 or 5 weeks are going to focus on some of that teaching of the kingdom, the characteristics of the kingdom, what that looks like, what it smells like, what it feels like, what the effects of the kingdom are and should be in our lives and in the lives of our world, our community, our families. But today I want us to wrestle just a little bit with the concept of the kingdom of heaven. What is the kingdom of heaven? What is the kingdom of God? And the easy answer is that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is simply where, it's where the reign of God, the rule of God exists in our lives. It was something that, the kingdom was something that you could receive. It was something you could be brought into. It was something that could be given to you. It was something that you could inherit, you could possess. It was something that you could be persecuted for. It was something that you could be denied. It was something that you could be brought near to. It was something that you could be really close to, but not quite in it. It was something that you could see the power of. It was something that you could be given knowledge of. And yes, it was something that could be entered more easily by repentant prostitutes and tax collectors, thieves and cheats, than by self-righteous religious people. Answer that question in a little more detail. I want us to turn to the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. We find that in Matthew chapter 6. It's in some of the other Gospels as well, but we'll focus on the Matthew chapter 6 passage. And it's on the front of your bulletin, and we're not actually going to cover the whole Lord's Prayer, as we call it, today. We're going to just focus on verses 9 and 10, and let's read it together. Jesus said, and he wanted to teach his disciples how to pray, and this is what he said. He said, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." So Jesus begins by addressing the Father with respect, stating that His name is hallowed. Some of your versions say hallowed, and if you're confused about what the word hallowed means, it simply means holy or sacred. It comes from the same word that we get the word holy from, hagios. It just means sacred. The name of God is sacred. It is holy. It is set apart. And He's putting that forth. You know, this is a side note to the lesson, but I have to say, when I think about the name of God being hallowed, being holy, being precious, I can't imagine Jesus ever using the name of God in a disrespectful way. Can you? I can't imagine Jesus ever using the name of God even in a joking way. You know, the Jews had so much respect for the name of God that their scribes wouldn't even write it. Wouldn't even write it. In fact, if you were to look at in English some of the writings of Jews today in today's time that still write articles, blogs, they won't even write the word God. They will write G and then they will put a space and D. They won't even write it. There was just an incredible amount of respect for the name of God. And that's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is beginning this prayer by saying, "Our Father who's in heaven, hallowed be your name, holy is your name, special is your name." As we declare our Father, as we declare our Heavenly Father to be holy and sacred, church, here's the question for us this morning. Can we say, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven"? And what does that mean? What did Jesus mean by that? What does it look like? One of the questions often asked about the idea of the kingdom is this: is the kingdom come, or is it already here? And to answer that, I would say yes, yes, and yes. And you might say, "Billy, you only asked two questions. Is the kingdom come, or is it already here?" And you said yes, yes, and yes. Yes, the kingdom is here. Jesus said plainly, what are you looking for? You're not going to see the kingdom physically, because the kingdom is within you. And yes, the kingdom is to come. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24, Jesus says, "Then the end will come." Or Paul says, "Then the end will come when he hands over, when Jesus hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he's destroyed all dominion and authority and power." And that third yes comes in because the kingdom, there are amongst us and around us and all over the world, there are literally millions and millions and trillions of situations where the kingdom has not yet come. And so for some of us, we are living in the kingdom. If you know, when you came to that point in your life when you had faith and you believed and you were added to God's kingdom, you're living in the kingdom, literally living in the kingdom right now. But you got people all around you who aren't living in the kingdom, who are struggling, to whom the light of the kingdom has not shone. So if I could paint this picture for you, just think about the brokenness of our world. In many ways, it is chaotic, and it's really difficult to function in this world as a Christian. If you think from micro to macro, from personal to in much larger scale, our society, you think about personally, we all have struggles, we all have problems. And at times, my life is chaotic, and I don't feel at peace. I'm lacking that sense of joy. I don't feel strong. I feel disconnected from God. I don't feel like that I'm really enjoying and having the blessing of the kingdom. You look at our families, and you see our families falling apart. You see our families struggling. You go outside that and you look at our society, and has there ever been a time in our society that you remember when folks were more divided and less united? It doesn't seem that way in my lifetime. And we look at our country and the nations around us, and wars are going on all over the place. And even now, the relationship between countries are in danger even now, even as we speak. And it's been this way since sin entered the world. And so Jesus comes on the scene. The Son of God, literally in the flesh. And he began the part of the plan of God where God isn't satisfied to watch us destroy ourselves. You see, it was an inbreaking of the kingdom of God in the realm of man. And in reality, it was a rescue mission. Satan has had and has this world where he wants it. His kingdom is marked, as you see around you every day, by violence and hate and greed and prejudice and jealousy and pride and lust and pain. And you can continue naming the characteristics of Satan's kingdom. And Jesus begins to pray, and he says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And if you will allow me to put this into our vernacular, Jesus is saying, let's bring, he's talking to his Father, and he's saying, let's bring the heavenly kingdom down here. Because where the Father is peace and joy and praise and beauty. And all is subject to the Father there. Let's bring that here to this messed up place. Amen? Let's extend the reign of God to this miserable world. And what does that look like? And this is where, for me, the picture is awesome. It looks like Jesus casting out a whole slew of demons from a guy who's lived a hellish life. And the next thing you see is the man, the scripture says in Luke, the man was dressed, he was clothed, he was in his right mind, and he was sitting at the feet of Jesus. The kingdom coming, God's kingdom coming to man, looks like a sexually sinful woman literally weeping and sobbing all over Jesus' feet as she anoints him with her tears and washes those tears away, dries those tears with her hair. The kingdom coming looks like Matthew, who is a cheat and a thief, giving up that life and following Jesus. The kingdom looks like the Apostle Paul. One day, he's on the road to Damascus, and he's going there to lock Christians up. And he gives that life up, and a few days later, he's ready to preach the gospel. The demon-possessed guy, the kingdom came to him. The prostitute, the kingdom came to her. Matthew, the tax collector, the kingdom came to him. Paul, the persecutor, the kingdom came to him. And on the stories go. The jailer in Acts chapter 16. The Gentiles in Acts chapter 10. And all people and all the churches that were birthed through the preaching of the gospel by the apostles and the disciples. The kingdom came. So why does that happen when Jesus hits the scene? Because in God's kingdom, inequality is not okay. In God's kingdom, oppression is not acceptable. In God's kingdom, injustice is not acceptable. In God's kingdom, a life destroyed by sin is not okay. Satan, killing, stealing, and destroying the lives of God's creation is not acceptable. So I want to challenge you this morning to look around you today. Where do you see the peace and the joy and the transforming grace of the kingdom today? Several came to mind as I asked myself that question. Billy, where do you see if the kingdom really has come and the purpose of the kingdom, the goal of the kingdom is to bring the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven to man, to change lives, to transform lives. If you really believe Ephesians chapter 1 verse 10, where God says that fulfillment of time would come, the fulfillment of these things would come when everything in heaven and on earth is brought under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Where do you see that today? And I think it's all around us. I think we have to open our eyes to see it. Many of you have been following This is one of those times that I really wish our projector was back and we were able to show some pictures, because there's a picture that's been on Facebook. And if you're on Facebook, you probably have seen this if you are a Facebook friend with Janet Robertson. If you have not seen this, you can easily go to her Facebook page when you get home today or whatever. If you're a passenger in a car, you can look it up, but not while you're driving. And there's this picture of this little, I don't know, it's a little room, little school room or whatever where Janet is, and she's taking these pictures of all these little school kids in Rwanda. And they're sitting there, and they're enjoying a meal that they didn't have to scrounge for. And you could just see the beauty and the smiles on their face. Their faces are literally lit up. And so even in the midst of a personally challenging time, and some of us know what Janet has been through over the last couple of weeks, she has feared for her safety. And even in the midst of that, the kingdom is present, y'all. And God is using her and the people, folks from here who are supporting her, to spread the love and the mercy and the compassion of a better kingdom there. And that's a present reality. It's taking place. It's happening. I think about our pantry ministry and how they are striving to hold out kingdom values in a big way. I had breakfast with Lynn and Dan last week, and I was really encouraged by the heart they have for hurting people who need a hand. God is working through a very, very committed and regular team to bless people in this community. And you ought to know, if you haven't been up here and seen, you ought to know that there are folks who aren't even a part of this flock who come and join in, part of that kingdom thrust. I see that being example of the kingdom, present reality of the kingdom today. Some of our ladies, led by Amy Crownover and Megan Bartlett, recently put together an effort to bless the teachers of CCS. And we have about 40 staff members in our building every day, Monday through Friday. 40, or give or take a couple, staff members. And about 95% of them are not connected to our church at all. They are, this is the crazy thing, y'all, they are, in fact, members of our community. I'm going to do one of those duh things, okay, that we really ought to see here, okay? So part of, think through this with me. Part of our mission is to reach our community, and we got 40 staff members, of whom 37 or 38 aren't part of our church, coming in our building every day. And they're our neighbors. Y'all see the picture there? Opportunity. Incredible kingdom opportunity presently. And that doesn't even take into account 140 kids who are coming from families who are our neighbors. Present reality of kingdom opportunity. And there are so many other examples. But what we need to see, y'all, is that not only has kingdom come, we, you and I, all of us, not just preachers, not just elders, not just deacons, not just ministry leaders, we, all of us, are ministers of that kingdom that has come and that should come more fully into the lives of our neighbors and will come in its fulfillment, in its entirety. Someday, we are ministers of that kingdom. Where there is reconciliation to be done, Who but the ministers of that kingdom? Where there is a marriage failing, we are the ministers of that kingdom. Where people are hurting and suffering from the ravages of this earthly kingdom, in whatever form Satan brings to bear on us, we are being used, should be used by God to minister to those hurts. Remember, Jesus said, "Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." And God's intent, y'all listen close, God's intent is that whatever blessing exists in heaven as a result of God's reign would exist here. We have an awesome opportunity. We have a privileged place as sons and daughters whose job it is to take, to insert the kingdom everywhere we go. So this morning, I want to leave you with this personal challenge, these personal questions for you to ask yourself. Where is a place or a situation where you see the dysfunction of the earthly kingdom? Attach names to those situations. Who are they? What is the need? What is the situation? And how could God use me to bless that? We need to remember, it isn't a matter of fixing anything. We don't fix people. God fixes people. It may just be sitting with someone in their pain. It may just be listening to their hurt. It may be through a relationship that you've built with a coworker. It may be in you as a father or mother who hasn't been a good spiritual leader to your family. It may be with a close friend who is heading down a bad road. This morning, our challenge is to live kingdom values. And when the opportunity presents itself, be prepared to speak kingdom words. Would you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Father, may your kingdom come in all of our lives and in all of the situations of life on this earth as it is in heaven. Father, give us today our daily bread. Give us what we need to survive. Father, forgive us of our sin and help us to forgive those who sin against us. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Father, thank you for allowing us, pitiful and weak as we are, flawed as we are, sin-ridden as we are, thank you for allowing us to be ministers of your spiritual kingdom. Help us to take our roles seriously. Father, thank you so much for your grace, your mercy, and your compassion. Use us as instruments of that in the world we live in. We love you, and we want to love you more, Father. Move in us. We pray that the Spirit would move in us, Father, in a way that you would become the thing that we are in love with more than anything in this world. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. This morning, if you're not a part of God's kingdom, we believe the kingdom is near. Repent of sin, believe in Jesus. Be baptized into Jesus. Realizing that that's just the beginning. And then live a kingdom-focused life. Maybe there's folks here this morning who haven't felt a part of that kingdom. You need to reconnect with God and be reminded, Father, with the Father. You need to make that reconnection this morning. If you have prayer, something about your life, maybe you've been trying to take care of your earthly kingdom, more concerned with it than the heavenly kingdom. And you need to make that known. We'd love to pray with you. We'd love to put our arms around you, hug you, pray with you and for you. Please come if we can help you this morning as we sing.